Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
For multiple bonus shows per week and access to our full podcast archive featuring in-depth interviews, movie commentaries and live shows, please check out the Steel Wars Patreon podcast feed. The Content Club level is just $3 a month and is chock full of Star Wars fun and really helps the ongoing production of the show. All the bonus shows download into your podcast app like any other show. Give a month a try at patreon.com/steelwars. Link is in this episode's show notes. And if you do, hit us up for a question for the weekly Patreon Q&A. And now on with the show. I really hope you enjoy it. In an effort to sizzle out May the 4th Chicago Live Show YouTube premiere event, here is the normally Patreon-only Robbo Report. Not only to explain what's going on Saturday, but also to give you a taste of the regular bonus content our beloved Patreons enjoy. Hope to see you in the YouTube chat this Saturday, May the 4th, but until then, enjoy the show.
Oh yeah!
I'm recording now.
You want to count me in or something? Or
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey,
no,
everybody.
No, you don't count in. If
listen, all right, showbiz.
In show business, you would know if you were in show business.
I'm not, and you know I'm not.
You don't count in the last one because you don't want that sound to be on the recording.
Well, it is now. Hey, everybody, it's your boy, Robert. All that's going in. Listen to this Hollywood Steel lecturing me on the ins and outs of show business.
Dude, I'm just trying to help you out. Do you know what I mean? Like, information is power.
I think it's like the amateur-ish charm of the show that people enjoy the most.
Okay.
Because I'm real. I keep it real, Steel.
Wow, that was the whitest rap ever.
It's your boy. Your boy keeps it real.
Real Steel. You know the deal. Don't make me buy you a Happy Meal.
I'm here to say that I love rapping in a major way. It's like every commercial ever, 1986 to 1994.
Excellent. And that is just indicative of the product we're presenting today.
Oh, yes. At least as good as Fruity Pebbles.
Tight. Hey, we might actually put this on the free feed or this bit of it.
Why this one?
Because I've got to do some infomercial work up top. So explain to everyone who you are, Robbo.
Hi, everybody. I am Robbo. I'm friends with Steel. Steel lets me do a thing where I talk.
You were upbeat until I asked you to talk about yourself, and then you went into a dark depression. You just started. I am Robbo, and I'm friends with Steel.
I never really thought about how to explain myself. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, it's like, what do I say? Like, I don't know.
I'm Steel's Star Wars buddy.
I mean, I don't want to listen to that though. Would you? I'm Steel's Star Wars buddy. I don't want that. I want people to listen to this and really get their hopes up. That way they can be crushed when they actually pay money for it. And, you know, they're like, oh my God. What did I do? It sounded so good on the commercial. And that's how I get you. That's what we do here on the Robbo Report.
Man, I don't know if this is like anti-marketing or anti-anti-marketing or anti-anti-anti-marketing. Like,
I think people are going to listen to it. They'll be like, it sounds so terrible. It's got to be good. Like, they wouldn't be able to talk it down this much unless it were solid gold content from beginning to end.
God, you are Star Wars podcasting's Bill Hicks.
Yeah, I think so too. The best possible like commercial you can do, the best possible advertisement is just like a good clip from the show where people listen to it and they think, oh, I want to hear what happens next. But like when it's all artificial, I mean, like I said, I keep it real.
Anyway, the infomercial portion was, it was more for something else to get the word out about, have you seen our, online YouTube May the 4th event, Robbo? Have you seen any sizzle out there about that?
No.
Oh man, you're killing me. You are killing me.
You didn't tell me anything about this. Why, like, am I supposed to follow your every move? Is that what you expect?
Kind of. Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. Well, on May the 4th, we are premiering our Chicago live show on YouTube.com. And the premiere thing, how it works, Robbo, is it goes on at a set time and then there's a live chat next to it. So a bunch of the people that were on the show will be live chatting with people as they watch. And it's a fun little May the 4th event. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so is this the erotic thriller fan fiction thing, or is it the regular show thing?
This is the regular show where we talk about Celebration and break down the trailer, and we've got like tons of sweet guests. We've got Bresnikan, Claire Stribling, Emily Lynn's all about it, Chris Taylor that wrote How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, and a bunch of heads, right? And so that's the main show that everyone gets to watch. And then after that, that show goes for about 80 minutes. And then after that, we will premiere just for Patreons or patrons, the erotic fanfiction live show, the live read of the erotic fanfiction that Emily Lind wrote, performed live with some, I have to admit, fantastic sound effects. Ben Burt would have one tear after hearing this. It's We did tremendous work. Me and Dom Legaspi collabed on the sound effects. But anyway, so that will be for Patreons afterwards. And it's the main show is pretty funny, but the erotic fan fiction, adults only, strictly adults only.
That's right.
Is there was
gets a little blue, as Milton Berle would say, or something like that. And I don't know, whatever.
There's a lot of laughs. It was a good vibe. So yeah, so that's the sizzle for the event on YouTube.com, the best place to watch all your YouTube videos, at YouTube.com/Steel Wars, and it will be worth it to get the Patreon to get the erotic fan fiction. It is super good. But that's $3 for the month, and you get bonus shows like the Robbo Report, and I've done tons. This would be the fifth bonus show this week, Robbo. But you're not a bonus show anymore because you're on the main feed this time. So the fourth,
this time
you've been de-bonused.
I don't know how I feel about that. It's cool. Yeah. When is it? What time is it happening on May the 4th?
Oh, that's very good. It sounds like we rehearsed this. Because that was a very pertinent question. If you're in America, it's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. East. If you're in the UK, you are bumming at 3 a.m. Sunday, May the 5th. But if you're in Australia, Sunday, May the 5th, 12 noon on the Eastern States.
Hey, you got like most of the hemispheres in there.
Yeah, they're the main
ones. That's pretty good.
They're
the main ones.
They're our main listening hubs.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Okay, so if it's at like, there's going to be a chat, so maybe I will be in there on the chat, or I'll at least be listening.
Okay,
so I definitely want to see it.
If you see Robbo in the chat, and I think you will appear, just ask to get him to explain who he is, and just watch the posts get slower and slower and sadder in character.
I don't know how to do that. It's just not what I do. Look, I'm not all about self-promotion, Steele. That's what you do. All right.
True. Hey, what do you make of Mark Hamill?
You're talking about the thing with the Photoshop thing at the, or just like him in general?
more that with keeping in mind who he is in general. So he posted up this thing. Most people will know that a Photoshop of, I think it's Lando and Han piloting the Falcon with Leia and Luke in the background, all aged.
Yeah.
And I don't know, someone posted that and I sort of saw it about, and then he tweeted it with hashtag missed opportunities or whatever. And some people loved it, some people hated it. And then he posted a thing saying, hey, I was just saying that I miss the people in the photo. And, you know, don't take it all so serious, which is pretty good advice not to take it so serious. But
people were upset, I think, right, because the photo came from, or the thing he was retweeting or whatever it was, came from one of the, like, you know, misogynist hater accounts or whatever they are.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess like somebody, one of those people was taking credit for it and got like boosted by Hamill for, yeah, but the thing is, look, how old is he? Like, he doesn't know. Like, he's not scrutinizing everything. We're like, even I have probably retweeted somebody who is not totally on the level by accident. Cause sometimes you just don't know. And as far as like, I mean, that's really the casualty of the whole like hate mob campaign against mostly women fans, is that like people are really touchy about these things, and it really freaks them out, I think, to see what looks like, for the incredibly highly online people, looks like, you know, Mark Hamill, our favorite, you know, guy, like endorsing this sort of, not, I don't know. I can understand why people were a little bit unnerved by it. I do think that if anyone has earned the benefit of the doubt, though, it should be Mark Hamill. I don't think that like he's demonstrated a lot of, I guess I just don't feel like he hasn't earned like the immediate backlash, kind of like assume the worst type of thing that tends to happen on Twitter. But again, like, I understand why a lot of the people who I saw were offended by it. Like, I understand why that would bother them, because they're usually the targets of these miscreants, you know, not me. I actually noticed that we had one of our one of the people in the kind of the Star Wars Twitter community get kind of harassed to the point where she was considering, you know, closing her account about the same time. It wasn't about this, it was about something else. But it's like, when you look at what it was, why she was picked out for it, it's like, it's exactly something that I said pretty much at the same time. And for some reason, I don't get the hate mob doesn't come after me for it. You know, so it's just, I can understand why women in particular who are, might be touchy about it. So that's a very long-winded answer saying, like, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, but I understand why some people's patience is kind of thin.
Let's, just divert for a second. What do you think of the Photoshop?
It's not very good.
And not so much the quality of it, but the scenario it paints.
The lighting steel is all wrong. It's like they're in four or five different scenes. It's
don't get all Reed Parker on me, okay? Just just chill out. I'm talking more about the sentiment and the desire that what would have made a great Star Wars film would be a scene with Lando and Han piloting with older Luke and older Leia behind. That just having that was more important than the story that they ended up telling.
I don't know whether that's the sentiment behind it. I mean, I think that I don't think Mark Hamill is like a hater of what's been done, but it's clear that he's not like, this is not the way he would have done it, which is pretty much how it's always been.
I tweeted this a little while ago. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe an actor wanted a bigger part in a film.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, he wanted to be on screen with his buddies and like have that big reunion. And you know what? Like it would have been, you know, I think most people would have enjoyed that too. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I was thinking about this with, because I saw that Avengers movie, right, that came out recently.
Excellent.
Perhaps you've heard of it, right? So I was thinking, like, you could never do something like this with Star Wars because you don't have, number one, you don't have that many characters who are identifiable on site.
Will Roho.
Yeah, so like when Dr. Strange does the magic sparkly circle and Wilroy Hood jumps out, everybody'd be like, yeah, but then like, you know, when, you know, it's for the most of the audience, they're not going to recognize, you know, Crix Maydeen with his ridiculous beard and yeah, they just won't, you
fake
know, like you can't.
Fans.
Yeah, the characters don't look distinct enough from each other, and nor do we want them to, because then they would stand out too much.
No, and also though, it's not even so much the standing out. It's like we haven't had, like, Marvel was doing the opposite of what Star Wars was doing. Like Star Wars, like they're ensemble films, and then they, you know, with Solo, they tried to take one out, and Marvel was doing the opposite of doing the Solo films. No, the single character films.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then they were joining them all together. So they're quite different, because like Star Wars has always been based on like group dynamics.
Yeah, it's also like very much like about more subtle things than the Marvel movies are. Like the Marvel movies, I was talking about this a while ago with our mutual friend King Tom. And King Tom Chansky of the Chansky clan. I can't remember where he comes from. We were talking about this, about like why it's so hard to do that with Star Wars. Like, why doesn't that work? Whereas if it works with Marvel, with characters that people go into the movies not, a lot of times, not knowing anything about and not caring about them. And then at the end of the movie, they might not be like the biggest fan of the character, but when they show up again in like an Avengers movie, it's like it gets a clap, you know, it gets some applause because people recognize them.
And people love stuff that they know.
Yeah. I think there's like, I know that. Yeah.
But and, I mean, but they also, and it's like a reward. And do you know what I mean? Like for some people, the reward is, I don't know. I don't even know reference is good enough. Like you see Agent Coulson in the background of like, you know, a scene in one film and he's not in the rest of it. And like, that's a reward for like hardcore. But then Thor just rocking up in Infinity War for the basic fan, the casual, okay, then that's their like nerd reward. Everyone gets their little nerd, like, I know something buzz.
Yeah. I think it's like, And stuff like, it's just it's easy enough to remember things about them too, because they all have unique powers and abilities and stuff. And like, you probably asked the average person who went to see, you know, the new Avengers and say like who was Ant-Man's enemy in the original Ant-Man? They won't remember at all, you know, because it's like, not that
no idea.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. It's like, it's just not, that's the kind of thing, but you can remember Ant-Man because he's Ant-Man. Like he's a guy who gets really small, like an ant.
He had a similar suit. They had the same powers, like a lot of Marvel films.
Yeah, I don't like that aspect of it. I don't like that part about even the original Iron Man, where it's just like it's an Iron Man, but he's bigger and he's bad. I don't like that. But
hey, I'm interested about this. So the whole thing about, like, obviously Mark Hamill wanted to be in the film more. Who can blame him? I wanted him in the film more. But there's the problem with having Luke Skywalker in any situation that I know one of, I think it was Michael Arndt, or maybe it was I think it was Michael Arndt's, when he was writing Episode 7, he said it was so hard to put Luke Skywalker into any scene and not have him just, like, take over instantly, you know, he's so powerful, it's like, You instantly solve that. And I found it interesting that the very light spoilers for Endgame, that in Endgame, Thor has his own version of the Luke Skywalker in seclusion. And it was sort of a way to get him not be able to sort of solve anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I feel like I'm sure we're going to start hearing some people who are not happy with that. Like, even I kind of feels like, is there some way they could just, like, remove the massive gut? Like, they've got time travel, just like what he could do is just stay in past and, like, do some CrossFit or something, yeah, and then come back to exactly the moment. But
and there was another Avengers film, I don't know, they all blend, like, it could have been an Iron Man, it could have been this, that, or the other. But there was another one where he just, like, I'm off to, like, visit Poochie on his planet or something. Like, he just went. He had to go, I don't know, look in some special cloud.
He kind of disappears, I think, in the second one. I remember that he has to consult, like, some Viking oracle or something.
Yeah, it doesn't really make it. He had some vision in a spa or something.
Yeah, the Marvel movies are full of this kind of thing, and this is why I like them. In fact, I don't think there's even one of them I've seen where I've been like, well, I wish I had that, you know, 2 hours back. Like, I just don't feel like I was trying to compare it to Star Wars with somebody the other day, because there's
that,
this
Robbo, that was whole, that's the worst angry tweet about a film ever. Like, that's the hackest tweet you can do. I wish I had that 2 hours back. And you write movie, that was a bad movie, and you put movie in like inverted commas to call into question if it was even a movie. That's like the hackest film criticism tweet.
I was just talking about, like, my own personal thoughts, not thoughts that I feel are necessary to broadcast to the world at large.
Oh, no, I was not implying that. I was just marveling at the
I have standards.
That was,
you know, I might not be all Hollywood, but I've got my own standards.
It's tweets like that that bind the internet. That's what, like, that's if you got to the middle of the internet, what was holding it together? It'd be tweets. the first ever, like, grumpy tweets about a film would have been at that level before anyone had to, like, check notes in the middle of a tweet.
Yeah. But, like, I was thinking about this, like, talking about, I can't remember who I was talking about it with, but
you don't have to name drop before you make any point.
Well, I thought it's some, I probably shouldn't have said anything. I was talking about it with somebody, and my thought was like, it's like, I can't think of any Marvel movie that's as bad as the worst Star Wars movie. But at the same time, I can't imagine being as good as the best three Star Wars movies. Okay. You know what I mean?
What's the worst Star Wars movie?
I mean, I'm just speaking in terms of, like, quality wise. It's not my least favorite, but Attack of the Clones is a pretty slapdash affair.
How dare you?
It's not my least favorite, though. Like, I think that, I mean, Revenge of the Sith is my absolute least favorite because it's such a letdown. But I feel like the just quality wise, like, yeah. But that's not really what's important here. My point is that, yes, like, the worst Marvel movie is not as bad as that. But
Really?
You take the best three Star Wars movies. I don't think anything Marvel has done or could do would ever top them. Because it's just not, they're not capable of it. It's, you can't do it in that genre. Like, there's nothing like, and the three in particular I'm thinking of would be the original, of course, being the best, and then Empire and The Last Jedi. I don't think, like, just The Last Jedi is the best comparison because it's the most recent. And although it's not my favorite, and I've got issues with it, like, it's a really well-made and good movie. And like, I don't think Endgame or Infinity War or whatever you want to pick as being the best Marvel movie even holds a candle. Like, it's just not, no comparison in terms of, like, just the quality of the product.
Well, it all comes down to taste, because,
well, you can like it
more. It's people grew up with, like, I've sort of been reading a few things about it, and, like, you know, people that are a bit younger, like, they, you know, they, if you went from, like, I started watching these when they were 12 and now they're, like, what is it, 23 or however it is, 10 years, 11 years, whatever. But, yeah, it has, like, ingrained, like, into their synapses the way Star Wars has for us. So, and yeah. I have to say, I was very impressed. I went with Rashad on opening night. Oh, we did a podcast about it. Did you listen to our podcast about it?
Yeah. It was a pretty pixelated affair. There's a lot, you kind of just like, all right, checking in.
Ah, so
I'm going to go get, yeah. Cause I just drank a jug. You guys talked for about the size of the Coke you drank for about like 5 or 6 minutes. And I got to admit, I might have spaced out a little bit during some of that.
Wow. You're just grouchy because Rashad got a show. I saw a bit of snark from you on the, on Twitter.
My only problem with it was that,
you didn't get to vote.
I like the name, but how can you spell do and have and spell Shduh? It should be Shdoo.
Oh, dude, I didn't even understand the joke. So,
but I'm just saying, like, you can't. You're making up words, but you have to spell them phonetically.
Okay, moving on. Mark Hamill, right?
Yeah,
I think he's a real good dude. And he's plays my hero, and most of the time acts like my hero as well. But and I get that he's grouchy that he wanted to be in the film more. But he did always say, which ironically, when he would say it, I used to get grumpy as a little kid, thinking it doesn't sound like Luke Skywalker will be in the film enough. He did always say that George Lucas told him what was going to happen at the end of Star Wars Episode 9 was he was going to hand over the saber like Excalibur. He always would say Excalibur, and that would be his role. But it would be about a new generation. Like, if you find interviews with Hamill, like, from, you know, 85 to 2000, he says that story tons of times. So I guess he seemed fine with it, but then, you know, when it all came around, you know, and he's just a human being who has feelings and emotions. I mean,
the other side of the coin is, though, like, when you listen to what he talks about, like, what he was thinking about Luke doing in the sequel trilogy recently.
His ideas are horrible. They're hilarious.
But they're all based around the idea of, like, he could be Luke and be in the movie a bunch, but not have to actually do any like fighting or stunts or anything, which I totally get. Like, I'm not criticizing him for that. But when he's like, I think Luke could, like, grow himself to be like 20 feet tall and just, like, stomp things. Cause he's like, he didn't want to he really wanted to return to this role. He was really excited about it. Of course, this is like a big deal for him. This is like the thing that made him who he is. And at the same time, I think he was terrified.
It made me who I am.
At the same time, I think he was terrified he was afraid that he was going to have to do the whirly twirly lightsaber stuff, and then it was going to look dumb because he wasn't convinced that he could do it. And I don't blame him. That's exactly what I'd be worried about if I were him.
Yeah, I've heard him make mention. He just didn't. I don't know if it was whether he didn't think he could do it, but he didn't seem to want it. Like, it seemed like a chore. Like, I don't want to do that.
I think he was afraid he would look silly. And he did actually, didn't he hurt himself just doing like the one little sword fight thing that he did?
I have never heard that, but it was quite a stretch backwards he did do. So,
yeah, I really could do without that. And they do it twice.
Oh, you don't like that? I reckon it's pretty sweet.
No. I don't like it because, number one, it's the gratuitous slow-mo, and it is basically a thing right out of the Matrix.
You and slow-mo. It is very Matrix-y.
Yeah, but like you saw Endgame, right? How many times did they do that? You probably don't even notice it because it happens so often. It's so cliche.
I didn't even notice. I was too busy. It happened. I was just telling Rashad about my Coke, so...
Yeah, exactly. Like, but it, I mean, it's like in a Marvel movie, I don't care because I expect them to be using the idiom, you know, the film idiom of the time. And, you know, but they're not going to be timeless. They're going to look like movies that were made when they were made. And,
I can tell you, this is my worst, the worst quality of Endgame. I thought Endgame was pretty good, but, the thing I liked least about it was I just kept comparing it to Star Wars Episode 9. And when they'd do something, I'd be like, oh, if they wrapped up something in Star Wars like that, I would hate that. That sucks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It would not be a good, like, I'd hate to see a Star Wars Episode 9 where everybody shows up at the end and they do like 3 seconds of things. And then you're supposed to be like, yeah,
it's just not the same. I sort of would like the Ewoks to show up just between you.
Yeah. I got into this like weird Twitter, like passive aggressive argument about like whether the Death Star landed on like that big piece of the Death Star you see in the Episode 9 trailer, whether it was landed on the actual forest moon of Endor. Mm-hmm. And my point was no, because like the forest moon of Endor would look like Endor. And, you know, it would look like that. So it must be the actual planet Endor. And they're like, well, actually, in the Battlefront 2 game, they show Endor as being a red gas giant. And I'm like, do you think anybody's going to care if J.J. Abrams decides, well, I want it to land somewhere and I don't want it to go back to Endor, the forest moon? Because, you know, if it lands there, you realize like, oh, the Ewoks probably all got killed by like just the dust that would put up into the atmosphere and, you know, choke out the sunlight, et cetera. So it has to land somewhere else and it can't go too far, because it's only been 30 years since it happened. So it's gotta be on either another moon or like the main planet of Endor.
Yeah. Someone put to me, I guess it's a common theory, you know, it could be just on a planet, you know, it just went through space and landed there and they tracked it. And when they first told that to me, I was very, I was tense. I didn't like it. But now I'm just like, oh yeah, if the story needs that to happen, then sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, if Endor is a gas giant, then there should be several moons because it would be big enough to capture a lot of objects into its like gravitational, you know, well.
Do you know the thing I can't do that for? I can't just let it go. And this is one of this might have been the first ever Pablo Hidalgo interaction on my Twitter account. When they blew up Hosnian Prime and the beam from Starkiller Base splits into like 5 different beams.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I loathe it. It disgusts.
The beam splitting or the.
Yeah. Oh, why? Just blow up the one planet.
I guess I always figured that, that the beam was, I always figured that because it was traveling through hyperspace, the beam was guided by some kind of object. And therefore there was like this like fragmentary object that could split off at the right point and guide the separate tributaries of the beam to different locations.
You know what? That might've been what he replied, because he very kindly did reply with an answer. And I sort of just went, okay, you've got, like, you've got an explanation.
Yeah, I mean, this
like,
is...
Like, that's fine. Like, so...
Yeah,
like,
I don't...
Like, you've made it fit, so I can accept it because it's, you know, you've got a reason behind it. You've made up something to explain it, but I still don't like it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, well, I don't like that scene because it's hard to tell where Kylo Ren is when he's watching it go by.
That does not make sense.
You think he's outside Starkiller Base, but then the next second he's on Maz's planet, and it's like, look, he's got to be somewhere. But then I watching it carefully, I realize, okay, you never see that he's outside Starkiller Base. He must already be in that system. But the thing is, because like,
he just rocks up straight away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he's already there. And the other thing is like the explanation I don't like is where they're like, well, how come they can see what's happening if they're like in a different star system? Because and the reason why they're in a different star system is because somebody, Pablo, I guess, in the visual guide for the movie made sure to put Maz's planet in a different star system. Which is like, to me, is like, well, if they can see it, wouldn't the logical conclusion just be that Maz's planet is kind of on the edge of that star system? Like, then you don't have to worry about some kind of like, well, there's like a fluctuation in like the hyperspace time field that allows everybody everywhere to see exactly what's happening clear as day. And the other funny thing about that, though, was that I remember that was back when Pablo would answer questions and stuff. But like his kind of follow up to that was like, let's just say that Starkiller Base will not be missed, which is, I think what he was saying is like, he didn't like that it was his job to explain all these crazy things that you had to explain because of the way they did it. That was about the time I tried to get him to rename the group, the story group, into the Story Janitors. And he said he preferred to think of them as more of like a mystery solving club, like Scooby-Doo. It was nice to talk to Pablo back when I actually got to interact with him a lot at that time. So
that explains his change in Twitter direction.
Yeah, he's like, this asshole, I got to get rid of him. No, he was like, he had a good sense of humor about that stuff. Like, I thought that he seemed to appreciate people who could make a joke about something without like implicating him in the worst atrocities that mankind has ever perpetrated. You know, like I think he enjoyed not taking it too seriously, but being able to have some fun with it as well.
Now back to Mark Hamill.
I thought we were done with this.
I just think I love Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
I just think he should be a bit more aware about what's going on and not to just chuck petrol on fires. He, if he wants to be, he can be very connected to what's going on. You know, like his son knows what's going on. Do you know what I mean? It's just that, like, just don't stir up the beehive.
Yeah, don't, if you know, but you're bound to make mistakes. Like, it's going to happen. And if you think, like, the fact of the matter is, like, everything that we believe in our heart of hearts about, like, what's right about in the world and what's wrong and what morality is and everything, in like 300 years, those people are going to look back on it and think we're all barbarians. Right. Like it's you cannot be perfect. You have no choice but to be in your moment. And if the guy is like 95% on point and like sometimes he's like a crazy old uncle, you know, like that's just how it is. As long as he's not, it's not like he did anything where he's like belittling anybody or trying to make somebody like, it's just, we're all very sensitive about this and I understand why, but some perspective is necessary, I think, because he really is not out there. He could be William Shatner. Have you seen William Shatner's Twitter feed lately?
No, I don't.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't. It probably wouldn't affect you because if you're not like a, I'm not like a big fan of the guy or anything. But it's like William Shatner's like, you know, a cranky old man now, like railing against the SJWs who are ruining everything. Like that's what he does. That's what he became. So like it's, you know, it could be that to me is where you kind of distance yourself from the actor and say like, look, I get it. People get old and they lose their minds. But yeah, but I don't think that's happened in Mark Hamill. And
I tell you a an interesting thing about all of this. Now feelings are feelings and they're just feelings. Right. And you have feelings. Sometimes you can't fight the feelings. Sometimes your feelings change. You can't you can't fight that as well. Try as you may. But I am love Mark Hamill. But I'm now I don't even know why, but now my need to protect him in the role has lessened. Like I used to be always, you know, you can have someone else play Han Solo, whatever, but not Luke Skywalker. And now I'm sort of just like, yeah, let Sebastian Shaw do a,
because
a middle-aged
Sebastian Shaw. Bring Sebastian Shaw back. Bring him back. Steel's on my side.
Not Sebastian Shaw. What's his name from Avengers?
Sebastian Stan.
Yes, thank you.
Man with two first names. No, I don't. Just because of that,
I can't. It sounds petty. Why? But he had the perfect record. But like I can't fight. Like that's
all the good things he does and says it for fans, dude. And talks like it's like he just has. The man just wanted to be in the same room as Billy Dee Williams. Who doesn't? The man misses Carrie Fisher. Who doesn't? Like, come on. Like, just we were in Star Wars. We don't have that kind of connection to those people personally. It's just he can feel that way and say it. He just doesn't realize that by retweeting or.
Okay, Robbo. Something. Robbo, yeah. Just as an exercise, give us a pricey about what I said before I dropped my bombshell.
What? Give us a what?
A pricey. A summary.
A summary of what you said, which is that before he did that, you felt like...
No. I said... I said feelings are feelings. You can't control your feelings. That was my disclaimer. I'm not saying it's... like. It's also, you know, it's just a character. Who cares? But, you know, it is my favorite character of all time, but I'm just not as like, I'm fine for someone else to do it.
Just because of that though. That's my point.
But maybe I should have thought that way all along and I just want to enjoy some more Luke Skywalker.
It's because you didn't realize he was like a fallible human being who's capable of making minor transgressions.
Yeah, but it's not like,
sounds like the problem is with you. Like you finally like woke up. You're no longer delusional.
How was I delusional? What's going on?
Because you believe that he wasn't like that he wasn't a normal person who made mistakes sometimes. Like it's such a like he isn't Luke Skywalker. He's just a guy. He's Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm
still that's an example of what is like a very minor transgression compared to what the good people at Marvel Comics did.
But
which I think is a much bigger deal.
But my change of heart is some might consider like you think it's like this biggest thing ever. I tell Jimmy down the street and he just goes, yeah, whatever. Like different people play characters all the time. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like you are putting so much weight on it, not I.
I don't
and certainly not Jimmy down the street. He's not putting any weight on it.
I wasn't taking a stance on whether anyone else could play Luke Skywalker. I was more thinking about what it took for you to change your mind about that seems to me like to be not like a sufficient enough catalyst for you to change your mind.
Nah. What are you going to do?
I mean, it happened.
I should preface. There's other things afoot that Rebecca asked on the Patreon Q&A about Luke Skywalker, a question about a Luke Skywalker series, like a middle-aged Luke Skywalker, you know, between Jedi and The Force Awakens. And it's, I'm into it. I'm open to it.
I would want the reason why I kind of don't want to see someone else play Luke Skywalker is not because I don't think anyone else could do it. And it's not because I don't want to see anybody else do it. It's more like I don't want that to be because whoever it was, whether it was JJ or Larry Kasdan or Michael Arndt, who said it's hard to put Luke into a scene in Star Wars and not have him just take over and also kind of suck the drama out of things, because
that's what I talked about this like half an hour ago.
No, I know. I was following up on your comment.
Oh, you reference everyone else in the story except for me.
You didn't. You were repeating what they said.
Yeah, but you could have said, like, as you said before.
Steve. As you were repeating that somebody else said.
As now you're. Oh, all right, keep going.
That's not how citations work, Steele.
Oh, that's how podcasting works. That's how a conversation works, you freak. Like, you say, as you said before, like, just in.
I trust our listeners to be able to connect those dots. When they're not blinded by their massive Hollywood ego, it's easy. Yeah, that's right.
I've got a good Hollywood story for you at the end.
I mean, do you really want to keep going down? Like, I kind of like it's more like I just don't want to see that. I don't think that you could tell too many good, like, film-worthy stories about Luke at that time period unless you introduce something.
I don't want a film. I want a TV series. Sorry.
Okay, I don't think you could tell too many screen-worthy. How about that?
Oof.
It's not because the character isn't good enough. It's just because, like, you know, I don't feel like it's necessary because he got all the drama we needed out of him. That's to me is what makes his performance in The Last Jedi so great, is because it makes up for all the stuff we missed. Mm. It shows us all this character development really did happen.
Hey, listen, I think you're right, which is not saying I'll say on this show that often. I think the better decision would be not to do any more stories about Luke Skywalker. But here's the thing. I'm just idiot fan, and I'm seeing these, you know, Cassian, you know, IG-88 or his big brother or his little brother, he's getting a series. Very exciting.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then, you know, you see the Marvel film, you know, they're getting like, you know, whatever, Scarlet Witch and Vision or whatever. They're getting their own series.
Don't act like you don't know them both.
Oh, no. It was just me recalling their names. Like Elizabeth Olsen, the Scarlet Witch. See, I know stuff.
Wow. I didn't remember her name. That's good.
See? Anyway, like, got to call Collider. Let him know that I know some movie trivia. I can go back on.
I know stuff. I'd love to see you do like a Marvel trivia contest.
Dude, it would be horrible.
You would get obliterated. And so would I, by the way. Like, I'm not. Dude, I don't really know. That's not my thing.
I did a Star Wars one and I got obliterated.
Yeah, I would on that too. Like, unless they were asking about the very specific parts of Star Wars that I'd love, I can't remember most of it.
What's the most annoying part of Revenge of the Sith? And you can buzz straight in.
Yeah, no. I would be interesting to deal with Luke in like a TV kind of type of mini series, but deal with him like kind of from afar, where you're dealing more with like how other people.
Oh no! Oh, a tease. No.
You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me finish that sentence. So
I didn't. I can't. Wait.
Save your disgust. Ugh. For. But like you could have him be
I don't have to save it.
You can have him be like a primary character. And not necessarily be like the focus of every story. Like, it's.
But, Robbo, as I don't know if you've ever heard this, but when they were writing episode 7, right? Whenever they'd put Luke Skywalker in a scene, he would overtake it. And so it would be hard to have him not be the main focus when he has that trait. And I know before you said that comment, you hadn't heard that point before from the writers, so I can let it slide. Continue.
It just gets funnier and funnier the more you so yeah, like you could do it like I would do something like if it were my challenge, right? I'm not like a professional writer, so I don't think I could actually do this.
Can you preface everything you ever say again on this show with "I am not a professional writer"?
Yeah, I can. I am not a professional writer.
Thank you.
But to take the challenge of like, how do you do something that's involves Luke without allowing him to just take over as soon as he gets there. I don't know. I would try to do something where it's like, it's about, it's about people's, you could do something like The Last Jedi, frankly, which is about like people's expectations of Luke or what a Jedi is, or about you take Luke out of his element. So he no longer has that power.
Okay. What about this? He loses confidence and starts drinking lots of beer.
Playing video games with that rock monster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't have to take him, like, you don't have to remove his confidence. What you do is you just take him out of the thing that he knows, which is the galaxy as he has explored it. Like you give him a challenge that's not one we've seen him face before. For example, if you wanted to do a show about him and a young Ben Solo and him dealing with the fact that he's not a guy who knows anything about raising kids or like problematic teenagers or anything like that. And he's taken it and he's the only, like, we don't know what to do with this guy. Like, you got to take care of it. And then he's got to find his purpose and, like, you know, like, how do I deal with this? It's like Batman and Robin, where Robin's a huge asshole, right? Like, it could be really interesting. And or you could, like, you know, you have, like, my interpretation of it sounds like he didn't take on other Jedi students until after he was basically forced to take Ben. And the only reason I can think why he wouldn't do that is because he didn't feel like he was ready to do it. Like, he didn't, because the whole tradition only extends with him. He's he's the only conduit through which he's like if the Pope were the only Roman Catholic in the world, right? Like, he's both in charge of the entire organization, but also its sole member. So I can see why, if it were me in that position, like, I would really be running out the clock trying to, like, find any kind of source of authority I could to, you know, and say, oh, well, I'm not ready to take any students. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like, cause he's really a humble guy at heart. Like, he is, he's more Uncle Owen's son really than he is Darth Vader's son. So
hey,
in terms of, like, who raised him. Yeah.
Where was that information about him not wanting to train anyone until Ben Solo?
Oh, it's not in anything. It's the only thing I know is that it sounds like the way he described it in The Last Jedi, when he says that I started training Ben and I took him and some other students and tried to start a new academy. So it sounds like to me he's saying that he didn't have any other students or real proper students until he had to take Ben. He's like, well, I've got one student. I guess I got to do the rest of the deal.
I don't read it like that at all. I just think it doesn't sound like he's saying, well, I had Ben. Problem, so it was just I had a dozen students. I don't think he makes it like, well, I had Ben, so I may as well grab some more, whatever.
Yeah, but the problem would be that if he had other students before Ben, then they're still out there. And I don't think that they want to deal with that. That would be really strange. So,
he may have started training Ben as the first dozen, but I just think you're putting this thing into his mouth where it says, so I may as well get some others.
That's my interpretation of what he would do, because my interpretation of Luke as a character, which may not be the canonical truth about Luke yet,
but
it will be when everybody hears this and they're like, Robbo was right. I think he's a humble guy who is reluctant to take that kind of responsibility and doesn't feel like he's worthy of training anyone, which is why when something goes horribly wrong, he it does the space equivalent of holing up in a Motel 6 somewhere with the bottle of George P. Dickel. So I think that's what he would do. Now it doesn't have to be, but you could do a whole thing about whether it's either a TV show or a series of books or whatever, and it's about like Luke Skywalker and his nephew are going to collect. They're going to find students. It's like time to do this for real.
No more books.
I heard it here first.
It doesn't fit in with my schedule at all. I can't. Let's get it on the screen. Come on, I'm busy. I've got a child to look after.
You know, we've got like a whole trailer that we haven't discussed at all,
and nor will we. I'm going in spoiler free. I close my eyes through the entire panel.
Guess who comes back? Chris Nadine and his beard.
Yes. So
you will be pleasantly surprised.
So sick. But I don't think they should make a Luke Skywalker series, but I want them to. Because I want mine.
I can see that. Yeah.
It's like junk. It's like I shouldn't eat fried chicken, but come on, dude.
I'm gonna. Yeah.
have you seen that? Wow.
Yeah. It's so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, you can't, like I said, you can't, I don't think you can improve upon what they've done. In terms, like, you'd have to make it so it's really not about Luke. It's like about like young Ben Solo, or it's really not about either of them. It's about one of their, cohorts at the time. Like, where it's really like the Laura Santeca show. It's all about, him doing stuff and having like, some interactions with Luke or whatever. But.
Okay. What about this? Should it be 5 years after Jedi or 5 years before The Force Awakens?
I think the most interesting thing to do, and not just because it's like closer to like the classic, trilogy and all that, but I think the most interesting time to see Luke now, besides like his last moments, the second most interesting time would be him dealing with the fact that he is like the last Jedi, the inheritor of the entire tradition. It's his job to start everything, to fix all of its problems, and also ensure that he himself doesn't turn into like space Hitler. He's got to deal with that. And he's like, what, like 24, like he's a kid still. That is an interesting time to see a character
we were all kids back then. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, it's, you know what I mean? Like you want to look at the most dramatic turning points in his life. And so what you would want to see is when he was that age, but at the same time, it's kind of like, do you really want to have, I don't know. Like now I'm the one who's like, you can't have somebody else be Luke Skywalker, because it's sandwiched in between Mark Hamill being Luke Skywalker. You know, it's not the same thing as Ewan McGregor is Ben Kenobi. Well, that's fine. He's kind of way too young, but other than that,
what about Sweet Cartoon?
if they animate it well, if it's like a good animated, like quality cartoon and not like a Saturday morning cartoon, I would be all about that. That would be great, actually.
What sort of cartoon are you like referring? Give me a
like Batman the Animated Series, right? Have you seen that? Any of it?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like a well animated, like, you know, classic animation kind of cartoon, not computer animated, not with a bunch of you can't do a, like, just put some money into it and get some animators and make something really timeless. Not something that's going to look really dated in 10 years. Make something that will last forever and it would be worth it.
Hey, you know, I was talking about the Endgame and how I was comparing it to episode 9. That whole time travel bit at the end, no buys. That was just like, all solved. Solvedies. We got the gems. We got them. Now we're putting them back. Solvedies. Like, it was so Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I guess the reason why it didn't bother me as much, like, because I knew that was the only way they could do it. It's like, it's better that, because at least it makes sense compared to doing it where it's like, well, there's like a seventh gem that he didn't discover that we haven't talked about until now. But if we get it, we can fix everything. That's much worse. And I think it's their only other option. Mm. But yeah, like, I don't want to see, yeah, that.
The whole the cliffhanger of, it's such a weird thing of like all those people died. And it just wasn't, of course they're all coming back. Like, you're an idiot to not think they're coming back.
Well, they're not all coming back, but yeah, that's like.
Yeah, they all came back, didn't they? Everyone came back.
No, Vision didn't come back. And then there's another character or two characters who won't come back after this last one. Three characters, really.
Oh, no. I just mean in the whole, the people that got dusted.
Yeah, but like, look, I think because it's a comic book movie, I don't expect very much from it in terms of like, it's just like comic book characters, like if they just don't stay dead.
Yeah, well, because I didn't read the comics. Like, I just read
the comics. Like, I gotta say, like.
But like, so I don't even have the comic, like, so that's why I judge the films as though they're Star Wars films, but then I also acknowledge I don't have the comic reader's mentality of the zaniness that might take place.
Well, I think you've got it, though, if you've seen enough Marvel movies to understand what's happening in Endgame. Like, it's just, like, you got to understand that, like, there's kind of, like, there's a gratuitousness that's appropriate in comic book, like, huge comic book stories that you could just get away with it because it's like, oh, it's the fun of it. Like, you know, this isn't Shakespeare. Like, let's just do it. Like, whereas I think the niche that Star Wars should carve out for itself, especially now that I think they finally realized that they're never going to be like a 2 or 3 movie a year, like juggernaut, like the Marvel movies, is they should just be really, really good genre movies. They should just be like, don't try to sell your company's own product. Like, just try to do the other thing. Like, just be better. Like, just be better movies and only have, you know, one every couple of years, or like, you know, a TV series and it's like only 8 episodes long, for example, you know, like the
eight
way they
episodes of Luke, just doing his thing,
which wouldn't be there. Like, as long as it's 8 episodes. Now, like, 30 episodes, that's, you know, like a whole Game of Thrones type thing where it's like, that would be unbearable, I think.
Oh, no, I like the, just the dipping in and dipping out. Get in there, film your episodes, then
start, because
back,
that's
then that, back to Twitter.
Where we can register our disgust throughout the globe. I really think this goes back to my whole thing about what I want most out of Star Wars is just to be as good as it possibly can be and never again settle for like, well, it's good enough. Like, it just, the Marvel movies are in, even the best of them are kind of in good enough territory for me. Like, I like, but I don't expect anything else out of them because they've never done anything beyond that. And if they can, like, you know, put some poignant moments in there and some other, like, you know, thought provoking, you know, things every now and then, good on them. That's good. But they don't, I don't expect them to be like good cinema, really. I just expect them to be competent genre films. But Star Wars has to be better than that.
True that. But I was into a lot of Star Wars podcasts, and I was musing today as I was attending to my parental duties about how all of a sudden I'm subscribed to all these Marvel podcasts that used to be Star Wars podcasts last week. But
now we're one of them.
Yeah, but that, I guess, you know, to the credit of the whole thing, it is just, you know, the shockwave is jumping fandoms. Everyone has to take notice of this film.
So, well, I mean, that's pretty impressive. If podcasts existed in any meaningful sense, like during the prequel era, I think you would have had the same thing with Harry Potter. I think Harry Potter was that generation's Star Wars, in a way. And
I don't know. It didn't hit me that way. Like I never.
Read, well, it didn't. Books. Not me either. I've never read or seen a Harry Potter anything.
Oh, I ended up watching them all on home streaming. But
my kid likes them.
I think it's one or two in the cinema, and then I was just like, yeah, that's happening. And I just like I only saw the whole thing like 2 years ago. So
it's the only, but you got to be honest, like it's the only thing that has the cultural cachet of Star Wars. It's like, it's a thing where if you talk about, like, you know, you make a Voldemort reference, it's not all that different than making a Darth Vader reference.
No,
you know, you're expected to know who Voldemort is.
How dare you?
Not my thing either, Steele. Like, I'm not taking any sides here. I'm just saying, like, it's, even though I don't particularly like Harry Potter, I don't hate it, and I do recognize that it means a lot of things to a lot of people, and I think the, you know, we're better off for it. It's just not my thing. And Marvel's kind of in between the two.
Now, Robbo, we haven't talked about the trailer, and I don't think we should. This is what I think should happen. You should watch the episode when it streams, or goes up, premieres, whatever, on Saturday night, or whenever you can watch it. And you should take notes with everything that I say that you disagree with, and hold me to task about my initial thoughts on the trailer.
You're giving me homework? Is that what's going on here?
Well, dude, it's what's going to happen anyway. You're gonna start texting me about, oh, that's, I can't, true. Believe... So
what about the title though, Steele? I think the title is something we can discuss.
Title's awesome.
It sucks. So it's cliche. It's another cliche, Steele. The rise of whatever is like every movie ever made for the last 15 years.
Who cares? It says Skywalker.
The Skywalker part is fine. And
that's the only bit I can remember.
That I like because I think I'm right. And I think it's going to be that Ghost Luke bequeaths his last name to Rey because she doesn't have one.
Dude, that's mine.
Yeah, I think he's going to be like, I think what it's going to be is.
When you were talking about citations before, where's my citation?
I came up with it on my own.
Oh,
look, I've given you, like, I didn't come up with, no, I came up with everything. I've credited you when you've mentioned something I think you were the first person I knew who suggested that Luke was going to toss the lightsaber away rather than take it from Rey. And I thought that was brilliant. Cause I was like, that's going to happen. And I never would have, it never would have occurred to me. I think it occurred to you first. So like, I'll give you credit, but yeah, I mean, it's a logical thing though, right? She doesn't have a last name. Like, she's got to take somebody's last name. And the other thing is that if Luke Skywalker is a legend known throughout the galaxy And then Rey makes herself known as a person who has this like thing. And she's like Luke's last student is what people are saying. People are going to start calling her Rey Skywalker, whether she wants it or not. And I think that Luke's ghostly presence will acknowledge this and say, you know what? It's true. Like, you should be a Rey Skywalker. Like, you've earned it. You're passing on the tradition that I was supposed to pass on. And I want you to have that name because I know you're going to make me, you know, you're going to do it right.
I've had a vision, Robbo, for several years. And you know how they make those vintage collection Hasbro Star Wars figures?
Mm-hmm.
And they put them on like the old black cards and try to make them sort of fit in with the 80s cards, 70s cards. Right. I've always wanted to get one of those with the episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. I didn't know the name at the time, but I always wanted one with her last outfit in that film and the title of the figure to be Rey Skywalker in the little oval with the orange background.
Yeah.
I've always like had this thing of like going into like a Target and seeing the Rey Skywalker figure. And I don't collect Hasbro figures.
Yeah.
But just
want to see it.
No, I would buy it because I had a vision about it.
Oh yeah. I guess if you had a vision about it. Yeah. Now, does it have to have like the little like metallicized plastic coin? I think that would be key, right? You got to have that.
They don't do that. They only do that for the barge yak face.
No, they did it recently, or not recently, but they've done it in the Hasbro era.
The
concept art. Yeah. The concept art figures came with the coin, and the coins are like what they came with. Like didn't some of the original Kenner figures come with coins?
Yeah. The last seven. Oh no. The last pressing of all the figures came with a coin. The power of the force. But they just did that. They did a retro of that with, if you bought the sail barge, you got a yak face that actually had a coin, and you could only get the coin carded yak face with the barge.
Oh, because they're selling yak face separately too, right? Because I got to get yak face.
Yeah. But without the coin.
I can live without the coin. I'm just curious whether you wanted to see that or not.
In my vision, it didn't have a coin. I have to admit.
Would it be okay if it was like a, like not like a 1983 style figure, if it was like a regular figure?
No, that's in the vision, it was vintage.
It have to have like the telescoping lightsaber that comes out of her wrist?
No, because I don't do that, even though I keep asking them to do it. So
I would love if they did that and they made her lightsaber yellow. That would be great. I just think like, I want her to have that last name and still be who she is, which is not like a Skywalker by blood, but I do like the idea that she has earned the honor of being Luke's
Hell yes.
student.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that it, to me is like, just perfect. Like I can't.
Like if, like, I like my name, it flows. But if I had to pick another one, if it's like, you have to get rid of that one.
Okay.
You're going into witness protection. We've worked out that your father is just a crazed lunatic that just goes around the galaxy killing people. You need to hide somewhere hot. What surname are you going to use to go into hiding? And I'd go with Skywalker. It's sweet. Steel Skywalker.
Steel Skywalker does sound like the worst expanded universe, like... character ever. It's like you just like you could picture the scene, right, where it's like the ghost of Luke Skywalker in full Jedi regalia next to the ghost of whatever, like the other later Skywalkers, like
he did state at the start of the episode that he was not a professional writer, everyone.
Yeah, and then next to like that is like, I declare you to be Steel Skywalker. Now go forth with your giant shoulder pads and teach the galaxy the meaning of justice.
Talk to me, Kevin J. Anderson. Talk to me.
Yes. I, you know what I got? I got some stuff. I don't know whether I've talked about this much on this show, but I did talk about it on like the Bad Motivators.
Please, and maybe on no plugs on the show. No plugs.
Though this is like over a year ago. I don't think anyone, those episodes are lost to time. Where like, I don't collect a lot of Star Wars stuff, but I do collect old books and, just anything I can find, especially like reference type books or like behind the scenes type things. Cause there's a lot of them from the classic era. And I found, out that, remember that in the '90s, there was that, Star Wars, the, guide to the Star Wars universe, where they used universe instead of galaxy because they're stupid. But you know, it had like the Darth Vader's TIE fighter on it, and it's like, you know,
I do. Yes, it was a.
It's by like Bill Slavislick or something like that.
Yeah, it was like the encyclopedia of its time. Yes.
Yeah, it's like it was like I think that one came out in 1994, and it's like post Zahn, and maybe like there's like a few others, and like some of the crappy like young adult novels of the time, and
it was back when it was reasonable for me to know everything.
It was still possible, right?
Yeah, I just read that book. Like, I would just start at A and just start reading.
And what was cool about it too is that it would like tell you like some of this is like had like the regular Rebel insignia for the stuff that's from the movies and is Lucas, you know, Uncle George approved. Then it had like a special Rebel like insignia with like a circle for like the stuff that was like kind of iffy. which I still think they should do that now. They'd be like, yeah, this is canon, but it could be gone tomorrow. You don't know. Enjoy it while it's here. Because that's what's really happening. And it's like, I forgot this, but apparently that's the second edition. Do you know when the original guide to the Star Wars universe came out?
I do not.
1984.
Really? I want that.
Can you imagine what that deals with? It's a third of the size of the second edition from the 90s. I found it. I found out it existed first. And I was like, to eBay, I must go and procure this this artifact. And it is the party line straight from Lucasfilm. What is everything you need to know about Star Wars in 1984? And so what's interesting is you can compare entries on certain like kind of prequel era topics that of course didn't have movies about them yet and see what they actually had set out at that time and then see how it changed if you look at the 90s version of it and things like that. But it's what's funny is it covers the movies, it covers the novelizations. It covers the all seven novels that existed at the time. So the three Landos, the three Hans, and Splinter of the Mind's Eye. And it covers like the kids' books, like the read along story cassette type things. And it covers the it doesn't cover the Ewok movies yet, because I don't know that they were out yet. And I think that's it. It doesn't talk about the Marvel or the comics or the newspaper comics at all. Probably because they're like, nobody can do this. I think the guy who wrote it was just like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going over like all 107 issues of the, probably at that point it was probably under 100 issues, but it was still going on. I think it stopped in 85, right?
Yeah.
They just put out a new one. Did you see that?
I did not.
They put out the 108th issue of the original Star Wars run. It just came out last month. I couldn't buy it though.
Wow, that EU billboard finally paid off.
Yeah, they brought Legends back, Steel.
Nice.
But it's interesting because the Marvel stuff and the newspaper strip stuff were always kind of like the bastard children of the EU because they like even the EU didn't know what to do with them. Because it's like they kind of just went off in their own directions. And
it was wild.
Yeah, that was what was cool about him. Like I've got there's three volumes of they put them out like hardbound, the Marvel original run with like all the stuff in it. And you read it, and it's like, oh, this kind of follows its own logic and it kind of goes on its own, it all fits together with itself, but it doesn't really fit together with anything else. And the same is true of the newspaper strips. It's like, oh, these make sense on their own, but like they don't, how do you fit this into everything else? But so they didn't bother doing that, but it was interesting, like, to do that, to look at that book and just see what was out there at the time. Cause it really is not much. But yeah, that was a cool thing I did not know existed. And the other good thing about that book is that it has like a list of sources at the beginning. And so you can see all the books that you didn't know existed that were out at that time. So there's like some like Ralph McQuarrie books that they put out that I've never seen before. I've never heard of. I'm not even sure they came out in North America. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's an interesting thing. It's like I put it up on the Blue Harvest Patreon chat thing, and just to see whether and nobody else had ever seen it before. So I wasn't the only one who did.
Other podcast plugs, Robbo, we have to put a stop to this.
Yeah, well, but you can't. It's too late. So, that is pretty cool. Like I never knew that existed, and I mean, as a book, it's not really all that interesting, but it's interesting that it exists, right?
It is interesting. It exists. Very interesting. Hey, what was the thing about Star Wars Celebration that did anything happen that made you second guess your I don't go to things like Star Wars Celebration rule?
No. Like there's not one, like the episode 9 panel looked kind of lame, to be honest. They like, they just asked a bunch of questions that they couldn't answer. Great.
Stephen Colbert, the trailer, was very good. Come on. Maybe I was marking out because I was in the room, but I was having a very good time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was fun to be there and all, but I it's not worth the trip for me. Like, I would, if I went, like, I probably wouldn't buy tickets to the event itself. I would just, like, hang out with you guys after hours.
What a, you're a Star Wars Celebration hipster.
I just don't, I don't it's even not go that. In. I just don't, I don't, even I don't need to be in that room.
Oh, you went in? I didn't go in. Oh, you went in, did you? Oh, yeah, I guess that's fun for some people, but I've just been outside all day.
You can see, they stream it on YouTube. I don't need to be in the room. I could be like sitting in my like, you know, comfy couch watching it, you know, on my TV.
Oh, you walked over to the convention center. Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, the one thing I did feel kind of bad about is I saw on Twitter today somebody put up a list of like their own like handwritten schedule for the stuff they wanted to do. And one of them was on like one of the days they were like, I want to meet the following people that I know from Star Wars podcasts. And they had this checklist written out. And I'm sorry that I can't remember this person's name, cause I don't think they're on, I don't see him on Twitter. I haven't seen him on Twitter before. So, but I will learn his or her name later, but it was like a list and it had like little boxes and they like check off the boxes. So it was like Steel Saunders with a box, check. This person met you. And all these other people. And then the two boxes that weren't checked were Will Witten and Robbo. And I was right. And the thing is like Steel Saunders was at the top of that list. Robbo was at second to the top. So I think like somebody out there associates me with you, which is great. We're inseparable in that person's mind. But I felt bad about that because I would have said hi, like if I were there. Like I'm not like I don't feel like I'm too good for the other people there. I just don't like conventions. That's all. Like I would,
because you hate things that you're better than.
No, that it's not. No, I just don't. I don't like crowds mainly, and they make me really really nervous. And I feel like I'm gonna get trampled. And one day I will, and then how will you feel?
I'll protect you, Robbo. I'll always protect you.
You better like Kevin Costner, the bodyguard, like just zip me out of there, man. That's what I need from you, because like I will be trampled one day. Like one day I'll finally be there at a convention of some kind, and because I do show up at conventions for my other podcasts because I get invited and I can't say no. But I can always show up late. is the nice thing, because I just have to be there for the thing I'm supposed to do. And I just don't like being in giant crowds of people. So even if they're great people who love Star Wars, which is would be the full, you know, really, if I had to be trampled by a crowd of people, I'd prefer them to be Star Wars fans.
Oh, that's lovely, Robert. That means a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I could die with I'd probably die pretty much the same way I would die in any situation, but I think that my ghost would be pleased.
Okay, so if you're going to get trampled, you want one of the prints on your face to be of a Star Wars collab Timberland boot.
Yeah, I want like a vintage like 1999 like Darth Maul sneaker sole.
Or one of those like just clocked in the head with a wick at the Ewok roller skate. Vintage, oh, man. 1983.
Yeah. Yeah, that to me is a way I could go out, and I'd be like, you know what, I died as I lived.
Paranoid of crowds.
Yeah, die as I lived. 100% right. I said I would be trampled, and I was.
That could be the name of the. That could be
the. Somebody wanted to see me, and they thought I would be there. They thought I would be there.
Calm down.
And they wrote my name on a list and I wasn't there. I should have done a better job of telling people I will not be there.
Oh my God. You've gone from the Bill Hicks of Star Wars podcasting to the Woody Allen.
No. Do not compare me to Woody Allen.
Someone made the list and I'm on this list and I'm on this list.
That is the worst Woody Allen impression, and Woody Allen deserves that impression. So I would be perfectly happy if we just drummed Woody Allen out of polite society. I don't want to be compared to him.
All right. Well, speaking of getting drummed out of polite society, Robbo, we should wrap it up. I did promise a story from Hollywood. So I'll just quickly tell you this, right? So my son Harrison, 7 months old, Jackie works at a modeling agency. In LA.
Two name drops already, Steele. Okay, keep going.
Okay. And they've got a kids division. So Harrison got signed up. We thought it was pretty funny. And he got requested to go to an audition today for a major electronics company, right?
Yeah. What was his monologue? Was it salesman? Did you do salesman?
Yes. And so you had to go in. And like I had to answer questions for him as I guess I'm management. And so I'm just answering the questions, you know, in with my jovial good humor, which you seem very immune to. But they enjoyed it. And then the casting director comes up to me and goes, "Hey, are you an actor?" And I went, "Sorta." And then they got me to audition for the same advertisement.
For the same role? You were competing with your son for
No, but this is the ironic thing. I was auditioning to be his dad.
And you're probably not going to get the part. You're probably going to be like, well, look, we like Harrison, but frankly, you're just not believable as Harrison's dad.
But well, that's the thing, right? So if he does get it, and, you know, full credit to him, he's a very handsome little child, delightful. If he does get it, then I'm going to be like on set as the guardian, just like giving dirty looks to the guy that got my part.
Yeah. It's like, you don't love my son like I do. You can only fake it better than I can.
But the advertisement is for an electronics company, right? And
yeah.
It's about parents that have a young baby. And they're really stressed out and tired. And it says in the like the notes, like, no fake smiles, they're very exhausted parents. And I'm like, dude, I am a very exhausted parent. I'm living, like, I'm method. I've been training for this role for 7 months. I'm set. And then, so you've got to, like, cheer the child up in the audition. And, but, like, it's not a, like, in the audition, it's just a doll. That to a stand-in of sorts for the baby. This is show business talk, so try to keep up, Robbo. But so I calm him down in the advertisement, like how it's scripted, and then I sort of do this little wiggle dance because the phone is like cheered him up. And one of the casting people goes, oh, yeah, maybe on the next one just don't do the dance because that doesn't seem very realistic. And I went, hey, mate, I'm living this. Trust me, when I use my phone to get my child to stop crying, I'm doing a wiggle dance. It's real. It's what's happening now. And he was quite stunned. But
long story short, didn't get the part. But
I don't know yet.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
If you don't hear from me again, I got the part.
I think what you're going to hear is you're going to get a call. They're going to say, good news, Mr. Saunders. You're in the commercial. What size is your diaper?
What size?
I think you're going to take Harrison's part.
What size is your diaper? Could be a good new name for this podcast.
It could be a good new name for a lot of things. Yeah.
All right, Robbo. Bring it home.
Good talking to you.
You do a podcast about games on video. Tell the good people about that.
Video games, as it were. Yeah.
Oh,
so I do a show. Well, you know, for the layperson, it's important to explain these things.
Oh, I'm getting so old. Yeah, I'm the Mark Hamill of podcasting.
Yeah. Well, you're excused then.
Thank you.
So you can't expect too much from me. So yeah, I do.
And apart from that one faux pas, I am otherwise your hero. So continue. It's the analogy.
Yes, this is 100% true. Yeah, and well, I'll say this. I can't imagine anyone replacing Steele Saunders.
Oh, thank you.
There's only one Steele Saunders, and that is you, my friend.
Yep. Thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do another show, Hardcore Gaming 101. We rank video games. People nominate video games. We have to play those games. Usually I am not thrilled with the stuff I have to play, and we try to have fun with it. I also am doing a show with Hawes Burkhart, Will Witten, Jesse McGarity, and Colleen McMahon, where we do the old West End games, Star Wars role-playing game. Steele still hasn't listened to it. It's been on for about a year. I just
don't know if the format's right for me. I've recommended it to many other people.
Could you recommend something that you've never heard?
Well, I just trust the people involved. Do you know what I mean?
You don't trust us enough to give us a chance, Steele.
You've got
nothing but time.
Dude, I got nothing but no time.
You got time. You're like, you're dealing with a baby. He doesn't know if you're listening to a podcast. You can listen to a podcast. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. It's like, but yeah, we do that. We're just about to wrap up. I think in the next week, you'll hear the end of the first real adventure. It'll be the 14th episode. And the whole thing is really good. I'm not just saying that because I think it's terrible, because I kind of wrote the adventure that they go on. But I've heard it on good authority that people who aren't me are can approve of it. We and Hawes and Will and Jesse and everybody, they're hilarious. They're the best possible people to do this, and it is really good. It's the most irreverent Star Wars adventure you'll ever hear, but I think you'll be delightfully surprised. And I used to do another show. I'm probably going to do it again, but I haven't earned a plug for that one because it's been so long. And that's about it. So I'll see you next time after we've met at the live stream thing. For the Steel Wars. Hope to see you there. And until then, so long, suckers. On brand.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that normally Patreon exclusive Robbo Report. Now, the Robbo Report is just one of our many bonus shows we post up for patrons. I do Q&As, which at the moment have been happening a couple times a week. If there's a big news item, I will do from a certain point of view, namely mine, where I'll give my quick thoughts on it. And of course, as well as that, you get access to our Patreon only fan fiction live read, which will premiere directly after our Chicago YouTube premiere on May the 4th. along with a RSS feed that gives you access to every full-length Steel Wars episode ever, as well as so many bonus episodes, live movie commentaries, other erotic fan fiction reads, and so much more. Over 500 shows for you to go back and enjoy, many of which, especially the interviews, are quite timeless. Really appreciate your support. If you want to check it out for 1 month, get the bonus content and participate in the chat of the fanfiction live read, just join the $3 content club at patreon.com/steelwars. So appreciate your support, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.